This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, July 11th, 2021. The sixth Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
I am no prophet. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen. Kind of interesting first reading today. A reading from the book of the prophet Amos. Amos, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I'm not a prophet. Is that one of those contradictions of Scripture that we hear so much about? No, not at all. It's context. Context of which we read the Scriptures and we know he's a prophet. What is a prophet? One who speaks for God. And the context of his historical place where a whole lot of people were prophets because they came from a prophetic family. It was basically their profession. It's how they made their money. If you could hook your wagon to a rich family or families, or particularly the king, then everything was right with you. That was how you made your money. You were a professional prophet. When he says, I'm not a prophet, that's what he's talking about, and we'll see how this plays out. But he did speak for God. That's what prophets do. We so often like to think, we're the priesthood of all believers. Yes, we are. Our Lord Jesus Christ is prophet, priest, and king. We always like that priesthood of all believers, but we also have to fulfill the other ministry of Christ, and that's prophet. Okay, one of them is prophet, the other one is king. We are to rule over those whom we've given authority in the name of Christ, our families, those whom you are placed in authority in this world. Prophecy, you are to teach them what God says. Priestly, you are all for prayers for them. So we fulfill all of those roles. So it's not a contradiction. He is a prophet, but he is not one by profession, as most of us are not. This is the foundation of the story. Why are we even talking about Amos today? The reading from today, if you just take it for what is presented, is sort of like there's this discussion going on between Amos the prophet and Amasias the priest. That's not what's happening in context. When we look at what's going on, Amos has been continually presenting, confronting the king, the institutions of his day, both what we refer to as the church of his day and the government of his day. And he'd been confronting them with their, let us just say, shortcomings. They didn't like to hear of it. Whenever people are confronted with God's truth, they, a lot of times, don't want to hear it. As we're going through this, kind of keep it up, and I'm going to point out what we're, but nothing is new under the sun. Amos is trying to communicate God's truth, and people don't want to listen to him. Amasias, he is the priest of the temple of the king. I mean, he's got to go, he's hooked his wagon big time. And you don't want anybody upsetting the apple cart like Amos, who's bothering everybody with these little details like what God says. You just let things go the way they're going on. We're good. Don't upset the apple cart, Amos. Amos doesn't stop. Amos continues to tell him what the visions that he's receiving from God. One of them, it's got to ruffle your feathers if you want things to remain status quo. The high places, the idols, shall be thrown down. The sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. I will rise up against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Jeroboam was the king of the day. That's up in your face. When we see his confrontation, how dare you speak to the priest like that, Amos? As we see, as he answers. Amos is from a worldly position, or from a worldly standpoint, he's in no position to confront a priest. I'm a priest. I'm a priest of the temple of the king. How dare you tell me that God says this? Amos dares. Why? Because he's not speaking for himself. He's speaking for God. The Holy Spirit is speaking through him. And when the Holy Spirit speaks through you, you are bold. And you should be. We'll talk about context in that in a second. But when we look at this, we have to understand, and it sets the stage of how much more we have than Amos did. And if he was as bold as he was, we need to be even more bold. As I said before, people don't like to hear what God has to say. Because you know what? What God has to say doesn't conform with what the world thinks about things now. It doesn't conform with society. It doesn't conform with political correctness. You can't have that, right? Wrong. This is what's going on here. Amos is confronting them with their shortcomings. In our reading today, it almost, like I said, it almost sounds like a discussion. Amaziah's looking at Amos, seer in the older versions, prophet, you need to go somewhere else and prophesy because we can't have that around here. We can't already suddenly throwing ripples in the continuum. You need to go somewhere else. Why? Because he's presenting God's truth. Amaziah the priest has no interest whatsoever in trying to figure out or understand what Amos is trying to say for God. And Amos isn't up in his face like, hey, God says you're this, God says you're that. He's just communicating God's truth. He's trying to warn them of God's coming chastisement if they don't repent. Sort of like Jonah in Nineveh, right? He said, Jonah to Nineveh, tell them in 40 days, I'm burning this place down. Then the people heard that. It was a warning. They repented. And God didn't burn it down. Well, God changed his mind. No, he didn't. They changed. It wouldn't be righteous for him to burn down a city full of repentant people, would it? He wouldn't be a righteous and just God. They changed. He didn't. He said, well, I'm going to do this. if you don't change, they change. These people don't. Same thing's going on. God's truth is a warning. God's truth is a caution. God's truth is something that people need to hear in order to repent and change their lives. That's this whole gospel thing. Our Lord, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, turn away from what you are and turn toward me. This is the reality of things. And people don't like to hear it. This is what Amos is confronted with. So when we hear this, Amaziah looks at him and says, oh, prophet or seer, go into another land and go, it looked like he's kind of nudging him. They need to hear your prophecy. It's mocking him. He's mocking him. Oh, you're a seer. You can see into the future. You know what's going on. You need to leave. He's kicking him out of the country. Amos, he's speaking for God, and he does leave. It's like, okay, I'll leave. But before he leaves, he not only tells him about God bringing the sword against Israel, but he also tells him what's going to happen to him and his family. Actually talks about his wife. It's a pretty pejorative terms. Of what's going to happen to her. And it happens. This whole context of what we're talking about in this discussion here is to understand that it doesn't matter who you are. If you speak for God, then you have the authority to confront. Truth has the authority to confront untruth. This is just the reality. This is what we're supposed to be doing. He unhesitatingly confronts what's going on. That whole thing, I am not a prophet. I'm not a prophet by profession. I'm just speaking what God has told me to say. I'm not a prophet by profession. He actually goes, I'm not a prophet by profession. As a matter of fact, I'm a farmer. And he's not a particularly good one. He's what we would consider like a migrant farm worker. I till sycamore trees. Sycamores are like a really bland thing, and to even make them edible, you got to really tend to them to try to get them to even, like I said, be edible. And this is what this man deals with. I'm not only not a prophet, I'm not of a prophetic family, I'm a migrant farm worker. But now hear the word of the Lord. God uses the weak things of this world to get his point across. This is what's going on here. It's not merely a history lesson and something that happened a few thousand years ago. We can learn a lot of things from this, but basically we're looking at two principles right now, and they're up in our face. They are up in our face in our day and age. These two principles are, one, as I just said, it doesn't matter what your position may be in life. It doesn't matter what your education level might be. It doesn't matter who you are in relation to the church or in society. If you have God's truth, if you present God's truth unequivocally, you know, this is my whole deal. I'm always talking about when you're talking to other people about the faith, whether it's an errant family member or somebody who asks you a question about being a Catholic, you have to be, as the scriptures say, ready in season and out of season to give an account for the hope that is within you. You need to be able to present God's truth. And that starts with knowing it. We need to know what God's truth is. We never say, I think, I believe. We say, the Word of God says, the church has always taught. The consistent magisterial teachings of the church are. The early church father Origen, he said, it cannot be true unless it is in conformity with ecclesiastical and apostolic tradition. If it violates what the church has always taught, if it violates apostolic teaching, it cannot be true, no matter who says it. The church doesn't have authority, the Pope doesn't have authority to change what Scripture says or to ignore what Scripture says. That is not within the authority. I hear all the time, but he's been given the keys of the kingdom. Yeah, we lend the keys to our house when we go on vacation a lot of times too, right? If you lend somebody, your neighbor, the keys to your house when you go on vacation, what do you expect when you come back? Your house to be like it was. You're going to get real cranky if they've knocked out walls, repainted, and pulled up your landscape. Well, you gave me the keys to the... No. When Jesus comes back, he's going to be cranky at some of the changes that have been made. Why? Because they're not in conformity with ecclesiastical or apostolic tradition. Some of the things we're hearing now. This prophet Amos, he confronted it. Like I said, there's nothing new under the sun. What was going on with Amos? What is he confronting? Why is God mad with the people? Why is he going to chastise them? Because in his day in society, they're doing all kind of immoral things. Immoral relationships between one another. They're occasionally sacrificing children. glad we don't do anything like that. Abortion. There are a whole lot more children sacrificed on that altar than there ever were by the people of Israel. So we got the same thing going on. The temple of the idols. They had actually been setting up idols in and around the temple. Idols. And I'm always throwing out, you know, an idol is anything that can deviate you from the true worship of God, which it can be. Our family can be our idols. Our spouse can be our idol. We can have a lot of money can be our idol. You know, there's a, well, you know, it's that figurative thing. No, it's not. Not anymore. Within the past couple years, we have had, I mean, for real, idols, demon goddesses, placed in and around our churches, while some of the hierarchs of the church sit around and watch them venerated. Just a couple weeks ago, the Blessed Sacrament of the altar was denigrated by placing it in an image of an idol. That's reality. We don't have anything different going on. And the same exact thing's going on. Amos tried to confront it, and he was. It ultimately cost him his life. And in our day, what do we see? Priests who are trying to tell the truth, fired, for lack of a better term, pushed aside, chastised. We see, you know, it's so sad, you know, when we see faithful bishops, they like shine like bright stars in pitch blackness. And we can name like a handful of them. This is where we are today. And why are these priests being chastised? They're just like Amos. They're just telling God's truth. But the thing that we have going for us is, like back in the day, why do you pay attention to Amos, the prophet? He had some visions of God in his head, and he said that God says it. Yeah, the only way you could really determine whether or not he was really telling the truth or not is after it happened. Oh yeah, he was right. That's why we have the prophet Amos now. Everything that he said came true. A lot of it was after he died. Okay, so he got no benefit from it. But this is why he's a prophet. We've got something more precise going for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty himself, who spoke to Amos spiritually, he came down and clothed himself with flesh and dwelt among us. He taught us. He established the church, who gave us the scriptures and the traditions of the church, superintended by the Holy Spirit, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he expects us to proclaim that message. We don't have to wait for a dream. We don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit to show us a vision of this or move us to do this. We have the scriptures. We have God's word. So it's a lot easier for us. This is why I talk about shunning the first person singular. You don't say, I believe, I think. You know, I'm a priest. It doesn't matter one bit what I think. This is why I'm always scripture, the traditions of the church. You know, when somebody says, that's your interpretation, it's like, no, it's the church's interpretation. Here's where you find that. This is why it's so important to know your faith today, because guess what? You can't rely on everybody with a collar, because there's a lot of badness being disseminated by people with collars on in our day. And guess what? It doesn't matter if you're a lay person or not. Amos was. Amos was a lay person. I'm no prophet. I'm a lay person. But I'll tell you what, priest of the temple, this is what God says. This is what needs to start happening. This is what's happening. This is why we have all this tension going on right now. Oh, you're being divisive. That's why some of the priests have been removed. They're being divisive. Good. Good. Divisive, rigid. It's like political terms. You're a racist. You're a fascist. Oh, that just stops all discourse right there. You accuse me of something like that. In the church, it's rigidity and divisiveness. He's being rigid. He's being divisive. Good. Like Jesus. I didn't come to bring the peace. I came to bring a sword. I will divide mother from daughter, father from son, all these family relationships. Does he want that? No. Is it going to happen? Yes. That's what he's saying. Because why? I'm giving you a truth, and not everybody's going to buy it. And the people who don't, you're going to be divided from them. Or you should be. Divisiveness is what Jesus was about. It got him hung on a cross. John the Baptist had got his head taken off his shoulders because he confronted the government of his time. We got to start doing that again. All right? This past week, hell, in Ireland, the government says the church can't perform baptisms. Ha! Whatever. We told you not to perform baptism. Whatever. You've got no authority over me when it comes to that kind of stuff. We'll put you in jail. They've been doing that for 2,000 years. Big deal. You don't care about other people. I care about God and souls more. This is the way the church needs to approach things. Every priest in Ireland should be baptizing people. And you got to do it in their house. That's fine. Don't be all up in their face. Be prudent about it. But don't stop because the government says so. And this is what you use the term resist. Everybody gets all hot and bothered. It's not resisting. It's disregarding. Some cop comes in here and tells me, don't do that baptism. Get the handcuffs ready after I get done. That's the way we're supposed to approach things. That's the way we've always approached things. That's why we have martyrs. Going to jail is no big deal when it comes, you compare it to getting burned at the stake or fed to animals. This is a reality of our faith. It ain't gonna be easy if we're faithful, like Amos was, like we should be.
Like I said, he unhesitatingly confronted the institutions of this migrant worker. It would be akin to some migrant worker of our day confronting a bishop outside of his chancery. Why are you doing this, bishop? A bishop be like, who the heck are you to talk to me? He just might be speaking God's word to you. It doesn't matter what your position is. You need to know the truth. I said I got to put a qualifier on this. You better know what you're talking about. You better have your ducks in a row. You know, when somebody says you're going to write your letters and your emails and things like that, have yourself squared away. Because you just might get an answer back. And you better be able to identify not what you think or what your opinion might be, but what God says. It is really kind of easy. You know, some of the stuff we're hearing now. You hear a bishop or a priest say, there are many doors. Really? Second reading today in Ephesians. What did it say? That in the fullness of time, our Lord Jesus Christ came to reconcile all things on earth and in heaven to himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ, out of his own mouth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So if you say there's another way to get through him, you're contradicting Jesus. And of course, I've read all the reasons why Jesus didn't really mean what he said. But, you know, I'm a simple guy. I just kind of let Jesus say what he says. You know, you need to convince me. You know, Jesus says this. Well, it could mean this. It could be, whatever. The wonderful world of if. That's not what we work on. We work on God's word. We work on objectivity. This is what the church is on. You hear the spirit of Vatican II? There's no such thing. No such thing as a spirit of anything in the church. What the Holy Spirit has spoken through the church and what the church promulgates. Not what you think it means or how you tease it out. That's not how we work. That's confusing. We don't need confusion. Our God is a God of order. He doesn't give us codes and things like that. So, you know, when we address these things, if you're going to address them, you cannot take it upon yourself to initiate a confrontation unilaterally. I don't like the way they do this at this parish. You better be able to articulate why it's not right. You might not like it, but you need to articulate why it's not right, objectively. And a lot of like, you know, our Jesus being the exclusive way to heaven. That's an easy one. He said it. We should preach that. As I said, we have a whole lot more precision going in the way we present things than Amos did. The scriptures even tell us, Hebrews 1, chapter 1, verse 1, opens up like this. God in times past spoke by the prophets, but last of all, in these days, he has spoken to us through his Son. He spoke to us through his Son. His Son established the church, and now we have the teaching of the church since it was founded, not what has come up in the past 50 or so odd years. It's a lot older than that. So we need to compare and contrast the things that we're hearing now with what the church has always taught. The Catholic Church builds on teaching. It doesn't change teaching. This is the reality of things. This is why we don't say, I think, I believe. You say what Amos said. Now hear the word of the Lord. If you confront somebody with scripture, tradition of the church, their beef is with that, not with you. Okay, this is where you get the authority. And in a nutshell, this all ties up in what the Holy Spirit has done with us by virtue of our baptism. He changes us. You know, you can sit here and you go, I've never confronted anybody with this before. I shouldn't have to do that. That's the Great Commission. It's not a suggestion. Jesus demands that we do it. We just have to speak his word. The gospel today. You know, when you look at the gospel today, he sends them out two by two. They go into cities. If they don't hear your word, knock the dust off. Actually, it gets more detailed in some of the versions. Is that it will be better for it would be better in the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah as for somebody who doesn't want to receive your teaching. The apostles' teaching? No, the teachings of Jesus Christ. They had to speak exactly for him. This gives us authority. And the Holy Spirit will guide and lead you and direct you, give you discernment and things like that if you ask for it. He will equip you to these things. St. Gregory the Great says this about the Holy Spirit. And this is why, you know, I've never done that before. I mean, just because you haven't done something before, Amos, he's a farmer. He's a migrant worker, not a prophet. But all of a sudden, he's Amos the prophet. Why? Because the Holy Spirit. St. Gregory the Great said, the Holy Spirit changes the human heart in a moment. It fills it with light. Suddenly, we are no longer what we were. Suddenly, we are something we never used to be. As we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, this applies to us. I've never confronted anybody with it. Don't hesitate, as long as you know what the truth is. You got to know what that means. Don't just pick out a chapter and a verse. That's very dangerous. Know exactly what the scriptures say. I don't mean memorize it. But know the message of scripture. Know the teachings of your church. Because when you know those, as soon as you hear something that differentiates from it, you're going to know that it's false. And it's got to be confronted. It's this confrontation thing that we're lacking now. As I said, even from the Old Testament, this is where we get the foundation from. This is what we're called to do. Confront falsehood. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.